Morning, in the spirit of gratefulness, gratitude, and thanksgiving, I want to begin with a Coke, a can of Coke. And I forgot about that. I have two stories to tell. You know, scripture is full of memories. When we think of something, God uses events, people, friendships, ministries, lessons to remind us of who He is. And every time I see a Coca-Cola can, I am reminded to thank God. And I'm going to tell you two stories. And the first one I will tell you now. If at the very end, if I forget, please raise your hand and tell me and remind me. I'm forgetful. But the first story is about my mom and my dad. Every time you give me a Coca-Cola can, I will be grateful. Not the product, but the person. My mom and dad went to be with the Lord in 2012 and 2009. But I remember, as a child, growing up, especially coming to America from Hong Kong refugee camp, I used to not go to school very regularly. I would skip school and go play. But my dad has a way to make me remember things and not to do that again. When he finds out that I do bad and the grades show, he would make me lie down with a cup of tea right there. And then I would lie down and he would have a stick. Every time I do bad, I would owe him 10 spankings. I can handle the spanking because I wear 2 or 3 pants. But my dad has a way to make me remember, and so I don't do it too often after that. Every time I do bad, I would owe 10 spankings, and he would do 5. And he said, I'm going to defer 5 for later. So the next crime that you commit, 5 now plus 10 later, which is cause 15, which is not very fun. I can handle the spanking, but what he does makes me remember is he would spank me 3 and then he would sit there and he takes his own time. He drinks his own tea and he starts lecturing. What did I do? He's very detailed. I don't know. I don't remember what I did exactly, but he remembers everything. And then he would lecture me when I grow up. If I continue to do this, I will go on that route. So and so and so. The most torturous part is not the spanking, but hearing dad. You know, I said, can you just get it over with? I can take 10. I'm fine. I have 3 pants today. But the lecturing between drinking tea is telling me, next time, it's going to be 15. It's going to be another half an hour of tea and lecture. So skipping school is no longer a thing after that. But I remember. He does things, so I remember. But the most memorable thing is, you know, we left our country. We left our 4 homes in Vietnam, the fish sauce company and everything, and we came to America with nothing. And dad and mom, you know, they're in old age. I remember when I come home from UC Davis, they don't have any money. I didn't have any money. So I remember going home. He said, go to the backyard. You will see bags and bags and bags of glass bottles and soda bottles. And then you go, you sell them. And that money is yours. My mom and dad didn't have anything to give me. Except every morning they take walks in the neighborhood. And they collect cans and soda bottles. And then every time I sell them, I have like $40 or $30. And that money is mine. I would come home every 2 to 3 weeks. And I know that that money is for me. I'm very, very careful to spend every dollar of that money. Because I know they love me. And that's their way of saying that they love me. Human beings love their children, imperfect as they are, know how to make memorable rituals to discipline their children and to reward their children. Every time I remember a Coca-Cola can, I remember with gratitude how dad and mom loved me. How God loves us, do things for us to make us remember, to be grateful, to be thankful for Him. I invite you this morning with me to think about God in the spirit of thanksgiving. And I want you to think with me, not so much about the gifts that God gives us, but the giver, the one who gives and the one who blesses. And I want you to explore with me and ponder with me on Psalm 95 before you. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. This is the word of the Lord. The first thing that we notice here, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us. If you go back to the text here, just from one verse 1 to 7, you have 1, 2, 3, 4. You see the underlying part? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, including our. It's we. It's us. It's not just me, but God brings us into the family of God's people, the body of Christ, the community of faith. My faith is not just about me, but I belong to the people of God. And here the author says, oh, come, let us together, let us sing and praise and worship the Lord. The first thing we focus here is not ourselves. Each of us have our individual life and story with our family, with God. But I want you to focus our attention to God. God deserves our undivided attention and devotion. You know, an author says this. We live in an age of self-obsession. Everywhere we look, we encounter our preoccupation with self-interest, self-development, self-image, self-satisfaction, self-love, self-expression, and so on and so on. Now, there's nothing wrong with self. But an overemphasis of self, of me, takes our eyes and our heart away from the body of Christ and ultimately God. I do a search online. What about the self? You know, Apple Computer, right? I used to work at Apple Computer for 6 months in Cupertino. So anyway, these products were not there. It was a laptop. It was a PowerBook. Remember in the 80s. But here is a new product. So you have iPhone, and you have iPad, and then you have iTunes, and then you have iPod. What do they have in common? Apple Computer knows how to market to you individually, right? It's me. It's I. Well, let's go a little further here. Well, you have iMac, iCloud, iTV, and let's talk about Apple iCar. It's been researched in the lab right now. There's a lot more. I can't tell you everything. It's all customer satisfaction to the self. That's why Apple is one of the biggest company in the world today. Because they touch a button, it's to satisfy the eye. My daughter works for IT in Milpitas. I kid you not. I'm not going to go there. How many eyes can we get here? Really? That's a lot of eyes. But God loves I and me and myself. But actually, I am part of the people, the body, the community, and I am part of God. Secondly, God wants us to know in this psalm, the Lord we worship is greater than I am, greater than you, greater than any I. Greater than anyone. There is no one like him. He is great and majestic. For the Lord is a great God, the author knows, and a great king above all gods. And his hands are the depth of the earth, the heights, the mountains are his, the sea is his. Everything that created is his. And the author realized how great God is. And he says, let us, not just me and I, let us together kneel before the Lord our Maker. Every month I would make a habit to go to the sea. Because I was born near the sea in Vietnam, so I love the sea. I would go to Santa Cruz Beach, Half Moon Bay, or Monterey. And I pray, God, when I retire or live somewhere, please make me near the river, the stream, the pond, the beach, near water. So because this is where I feel home. The reason I say that is when I go to the beach, I would bring a Coke, a book, and a sandwich, and a jam, a sweet. And then I would lie down on the beach every month. This is my Sabbath. I would go sometimes on my own, sometimes with my family. But I can be a child again to look at the ocean and to see how mighty God is. And just to read Bible or novels or just to just lay there and sleep in the vast ocean and the breeze and the sound of the waves, I feel that I am in the hand of God. Sometimes we forgot that nature is created by. The author wants to know that we together worship God. And God is great and majestic. And you know, when you live in this world, we know that we live in a broken, sinful, tainted world. But yet when I go to the beach, I see how beautiful it is. And the fall leaves here in Saratoga, all the hiking trails that I go through, it's just the majesty of God. We forgot how great and beautiful God is. The author invites us to come and to explore the greatness of God. Thirdly, in this text we see here, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. God creates not only the world, but God creates a people for himself. This is personal. God reconciles us from our separation from him. God restores us from our brokenness. And he gathers us to worship him. For he is our God, and we are his people. In the Old Testament, in Exodus and Deuteronomy, and a lot of New Testament, God keeps saying, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And this is what he wants us to remember. This is God speaking to Abraham. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offering after you throughout the generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God is meant for us throughout eternity, not just today, not just in this world, but God is our God forever. In this covenant, God restores and saves us and binds us and wants to be our God forever. The gifts will go away. The Coca-Cola will go away. The money I got will not last forever. But the one who gives to us is forever with us. It's more than the gift. For the sake of time, I just want to focus on three things. Grace comes from above. Everything that you have, all the things that God has done for you, what is grace? It's undeserving. You and I don't deserve it. But it's a gift. Something God gives and something God does for us that we are undeserving. Grace comes from above, pouring down. And our response, I don't deserve this. We don't deserve. Our response is to be thankful with gratitude. Grace pours down. We respond with gratitude. But the key word here in the Old Testament is to remember. Why do I have to remember the Coca-Cola can? Because it reminds me of my parents. Why, time after time after time in the Old Testament, God tells his children to remember? Because we are people who are so forgetful. We are so forgetful. When we forget, we go after things that is not focused on God anymore. A great book that I read when I was trained as a chaplain in San Francisco, it was mandatory meeting, and I had mandatory reading, and I had to read this. You know, we are products of our own history. What happened to us during childhood is not erased, but it's still there. A lot of us grow up, our past is still living with us. A lot of us are adults, but there are a lot of childhood memories, actually childlike behaviors, still with us. We bring that into our adult life. We bring that into our marriage. We bring that into our family, and we bring that into the workplace. We, some things that in the past we are so wounded, or perhaps some traumatic event that we still live with it. We won't let go. Pastor Pete Scazzaro, in his book, Emotionally Maturity Church, he gives a very memorable picture here of the iceberg. Do you see the iceberg at the surface level? Only 10%, right? What you see. But 90% of the iceberg is under the water, submerged under the water that you don't see. But what he says here is 90% of our life, people don't see. You don't see 90% of my life. But there's a lot of brokenness in here. A lot of things hidden that I'm still living with it, that you are still living with it. A lot of stuff that is going on under our life. And we don't realize it. We still live with it. And sometimes we still cherish it. But if God does not rescue that, heal that, restore our wounds, we will live under that 90% wounded, hurt. And in return, we bring our woundedness, our pain, our brokenness into the present life. Somehow, we live in the present, but the past is still haunting. You and I have a past. We live in the present, and we look to the future. But if God does not rescue us, we will live in the spiral, the cycle of sin and brokenness. We remember. Why is remembering so important? Deuteronomy chapter 8, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you this 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing to know what is in your heart. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods, other things, and serve and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you surely will perish. It is so important that we remember the right things. Otherwise, we forget. What are our lessons here for today? How does the Word of God remind us? God is inviting us to remember something new. When the Lord saves you and meet you in your life and my life, he wants us to remember. He's shaping something for us to remember. To remember God is to remember his faithfulness and covenantal relationship with him. We belong to him. Remember the day, Kim, you were in the dark. You were wounded. You were bullied by kids in high school. But God rescued you. God has mercy on you. And God saved you and bring you to himself. To remember God is to remember that he is faithful. And he brings you into a relationship. The Lord wants his people to remember that. To remember the past is to recognize who God is and what he has done for us. The Coca-Cola can that my parents gave remembers I remember how much they love me, even though they don't say much. I don't get hugs or say, I love you. It's just not my context. But I know they hug me through the Coca-Cola can. To remember the past, need to remember the God who did things for us. 1981, it was the month of May. I and 37 people were on a small fishing boat escaping out of Vietnam. We were part of the boat movement, the boat people movement. We escaped to the ocean. We knew Hong Kong has a refugee camp there. So we just went to that direction. Hopefully we can see Hong Kong. That's all we know how to do. Because life was unbearable in Vietnam. By the fourth day, it was a small fishing boat. Let's see the length of that is from that wall to the guitar. Yeah. And the width is from that wall to the first row chairs. And in the middle of that is a cabin, the engine. I was 11 years old, I remember. And I was sitting next to the captain of the boat. And he was just crying. He was crying by himself. And I don't know why he cried. He was just crying for hours. And then, you know, people find out that he's just crying. And they ask, why are you crying? And he didn't say anything. And he just broke down and cried uncontrollably. And finally, we sense something's really wrong here. The captain of the boat just keep crying. And we asked him, we threatened him, tell us what happened. And he said, in a couple of hours, we're going to die. Say, what? We are going to die in a couple of hours. Ladies and gentlemen, look at the wind. Feel the wind. Look at the breeze. A storm is coming. He does fishing for a living, so he knows the weather. I guess, looking back, he felt responsible for the 38 lives on the boat, that we are going to go down the ocean, and he cried first as a captain. We all broke. We all broke down. We all panicked. What he says, we believe, because he knows what he's saying. In 2 hours, we are not going to survive because a storm is coming, and look at the sunset. Look at the breeze. Look at the feel the wind. We're done in 2 hours. I remember so scared to death as a little child. The waves begin to pound. My heart begins to beat. And the boat goes up when the wave goes up. And then it goes down. And then my heart sinks down. And the waves crashing in, and the strong men have to have buckets, 5 of them, take turns to take out the water because we will sink. So he's right, we're going to die. I remember my father, bear in mind that none of us are believers at that time on the boat. I remember my father standing up, he looked up at the sky. He just talked to someone in the sky. He say, God, all my life, I don't believe anyone. I don't believe there's a God. But for the first time, I saw my dad cry. And he just talked to someone in the sky. If you do exist, can you save us? And when we go to the freedom land, we will find you and we will seek you and know who you are. That's all he said. Can you help us? All my life, I don't believe you, but if you do exist, can you help us? That's all he said. And he just broke down and cried. An hour later, someone spotted a dark spot, a tiny spot.
And the person said, you know what? Maybe that's an island. Let's go there.
Well, everything around you is just sea and ocean, right? The raging sea. Well, you have no choice. Just go there. And it is an island. We reach an island, and lo and behold, an hour later, the storm came in a big hurry, in a fast and furious way. The storm came all night. We had to push the boat into the sand. Otherwise, we will lose the boat. We're probably on Gilligan's Island forever. And some fishermen there, we stayed there in a couple of days. We ate vegetables, whatever we had left. We ran out of water. So they gave us water and gas, and then they show us the way to Hong Kong. My dad had a big hernia at that time before surgery. He just left with no treatment. And when we entered Hong Kong refugee camp, his hernia was gone. His intestine, the hernia, your intestine just dropped. But when he went to Hong Kong with no prior treatment, it was just gone. And then he met a missionary who visited every new boat that came in. And the missionary just shared about the gospel, about God. Well, my dad had a three-day conversation with him, morning to night. He had a lot to ask. Three-day conversation with the missionary, and he was willing to talk. After the third day, I saw him kneel down and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rest is history. Dad was the first person whom encountered God in such a miraculous way. Looking back today, in our family, mom, siblings, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, about 50 of us are believers now. Dad was the first person in our village, not town, I didn't live in a town, in our village to came to Christ. And as our family, I think 50 of us came to Christ now because of one person. This is not our smartness and how good we are, how great we are, how hardworking we are. Within 1 hour, there's nothing to talk about. I'm in the bottom of the ocean being food for fish. There's nothing good about me. It doesn't matter. It's about God, what He has done. To remember the past is to recognize what He has done for us. The opposite of remember is dismember. Not just forget. The Old Testament scholar Bruce Waukee talked about this. To remember is coming together, is wholeness. What's broken is healed. When we remember God, it has the effect of doing something to us. God brings us together when we remember Him. We become whole in our brokenness and wickedness. We are healed in our sickness and feebleness and frailty. But when we forget, we don't remember, we break apart. We are distracted, we are fragmented, we are disjointed. We dismember. But when we remember, it's we bring everything together. In Christ, He said to His disciples, and Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 reminds the word of Christ, do this
in remembrance of me. Do you see the theme of remember? It's all in Scripture. Why do we take the communion, the bread, the cup? It's to remember what God did for us on that day in Calvary. Don't forget that we are wicked, we are wretched, we are broken, we are lost. But do this in remembrance of me so you can survive. We are constantly reminded to remember God's grace. And we respond with gratitude. I haven't forgot the second story. It was in the 1980s when I came to the United States. I learned English. You know, when we go to seminary, we have like Greek vocabulary, right? We have like word frequencies, like we have none of that. So I would say, what is the best way to learn English? So I would read the San Jose Mercury News. I say, well, the San Jose Mercury News is the most, you know, the common language that people use, right? So I would scan for words like there, household, son, for example. So I would scan for words that appear the most that I don't know. So every day I would write down 5 words and I look up in the dictionary. If I don't know how to pronounce, I would ask my brother. And then I would do that for weeks and weeks and weeks and months. And then eventually I would say, oh, okay, I've seen this word before. And then I would conquer word after word. And then after 2-3 months, I can read a little more comfortably than before. But I remember that one day I read the newspaper in San Jose Mercury newspaper during the Iran-Iraq war. The war was so, it took a lot of lives. And they had to recruit teenagers to go fight during the war. And I remember reading the paper. There was a teenager, he was about to die because he was severely wounded. He was bleeding to death. And the journalist saw him through translation and asked him. And he knew that this kid is not going to live. He asked that kid, what would you like? What would you like? If there's anything I can do, I will do for you. What do you want? And the boy said, you know, all my life, I just want to have a drink of Coca-Cola. 15 years, I've never had a chance to drink a sip of Coca-Cola. Would you find me a Coke? After reading that story, God uses that can again to remind me, I have food to eat. I drink so much Coke. I could become a diabetic. And the little guy, 15 years, he hasn't had a sip of Coke. What am I complaining about? I have so much to be grateful for. I can live in a country where the government doesn't have to hunt me at night. We have so much freedom. I don't need 15 pairs of shoes to survive. We have so much to be grateful for. In the spirit of thanksgiving, I invite you to devote ourselves to God. Maybe take a day, go to the beach, go to the forest, go be on your own. And to review your life And to remember what things He has done. To remember how undeserving we are and how much we are before Him. And to say thank you, Lord. Just say thank you. I think God would be pleased to take a time from all the distractions, the desires of our heart, and to say, God, I count the blessings that you have for me. And I want to say thank you. Let us stand. Let the word of God dwell in us in this time. Let's focus our undivided attention to Him. In your heart, give Him gratitude. Say, Lord, I thank you for my family, for my wife, for my husband, for the children, for my mom and dad, for the church here that nurture me, for the country that gave me so much freedom. And most of all, Lord, I thank you for your salvation, for being my God and our God. And I'm so sorry, Lord, I see the other people have so much that I just sometimes jealous of them. But Lord, to have you is to have everything. You are my everything. You are our everything, Lord. Let's take a moment to think about that and to thank Him in your heart. Father, we come before you and we are so thankful for the family of God, for who you are and what you've done. Help us to be grateful, to be people with gratitude instead of complaining or comparing, but just to be happy in the presence of you, Lord. That's all. Because to have you is to have everything. We are so sorry for chasing after things that it's not that important anyway. It will not last anyway. In this Thanksgiving, we want to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name together we pray. Amen.